the questioner had heard rumors that certain mortgage-backed securities and other kinds of securities have been levered by investors 12 to 60 times, and the question is, how is that possible? I can't confirm those specific numbers of 12 to 60 times, but clearly the deleveraging that we're experiencing now is coming from a highly levered financial system in which at least some investors were able to place, as the term is used in the hedge fund world, place bets on particular securities or particular investment plays that involve substantial leverage. How can you do such a thing? By first borrowing some amount to buy the security and then amplifying the potential return by the use of derivatives, for example. And these investment strategies are extremely complex, and as you would understand, the companies, the firms that are using the strategies don't share them widely. So my understanding is simply very broad, that there's a combination of investment in the security itself with perhaps the use of derivatives in order to amplify the potential return. Yes, sir, at the back. You're talking about the liquidity injections that we have made through some of the special purpose vehicles and so forth. I think everybody heard the question, and I'm quite confident that that inflationary pressure that might come if the money supply were growing dramatically and growing in an unrelenting fashion, I'm quite confident that's not going to occur. In fact, in daily operations, the Federal Reserve often drains reserves from the system and tries to neutralize the effect of some of the outlays. So it's not as one way or as singular as you might think. And it's been our practice to try to manage as best we can the overall monetary base without it just continually growing. Yes, sir. The question was, how do we get where we are? And I tried to spell that out to some extent in my earlier remarks. A long period of relatively low interest rates that gave rise to a lot of business practices that now appear to be not very sound. And it was a bubble. Bubbles are periods of excess, and now we're basically going through the process of deflating that bubble. Question is, the rumors that the Fed is accumulating positions in physical gold, certainly not that I'm aware of. We do, of course, maintain gold deposits for various central banks in New York, at the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, and I toured it recently as part of my initiation. Quite impressive to see that amount of gold there. Mostly it moves from cage to cage by not physical movement, by simply the change of ownership. So it's an accounting system. I understand the gold itself hasn't moved for decades, literally. But I'm not aware of anything that suggests that we're accumulating gold. The question relates to the credit default swap market, which is now, by some measures, a $60 trillion notional market of basically what is an insurance policy on default risk of a particular debtor. And the question is, do I see any prospect of regulation? Well, the New York Federal Reserve Bank has taken the lead. My colleague Tim Geithner has taken the lead in pushing very strongly for a settlement system, a clearinghouse-centered settlement system to be put in place with the standardization of contracts. The credit default swap market, which did not exist when I was a banker, it's really a relatively new phenomenon of the last few years, and it's grown dramatically, is an over-the-counter, unregulated market that involves counterparties who basically work out each deal on a bilateral basis. So the terms of the swaps are not standardized the way, for example, we have standardized option contracts and futures contracts. So we at the Fed very much support the notion of moving to a central clearinghouse and a more standardized organization of the market. A good and multifaceted question relating to the rating agencies. And the question really looked at back to July of last year and whether or not the conditions at the time drove the downgrades or whether it was more of a recognition of a longer-term problem. And then the questioner went on to point out or say that the rating agencies are controlled by government. First, let me start with the last. The rating agencies in the world, there are many, but the dominant ones are American, not controlled by governments, private enterprises. And they are Moody's, Standard & Poor's, and Fitch. Europeans and others have viewed this as sort of a U.S. oligopoly in some respects, and so there have been initiatives to try to develop more indigenous rating agencies in different parts of the world. But for the time being, these three firms are at least the major players. There are some other rating agencies around the world. I was, of course, an insider at the time when they made the decision to do the downgrades, but they were clearly reflecting changes in the default rate and therefore the cash flow of these securities that they had, as they periodically do, reviewed in the normal course of business. And I believe that for the most part, those downgrades reflected conditions at the time. Having said that, the rating agencies used models and input to the models that just weren't long-term in terms of data. Mortgage-backed securities had been a relatively new thing, starting years ago, but the data related to the pools of mortgages was not terribly seasoned. So they did the best they could with the models they had to model the default rates, and history has proved that they were wrong in some of those assumptions. You know, it's assumptions in, results out, and if the assumptions are faulty, you have some problems. Well, two questions there. One relates to the Troubled Asset Relief Plan and the provisions of it. Particularly, you focused on the dividend question, the ability for a bank that takes a preferred stock investment to continue to pay dividends. That was the first part of the question. And the second part related to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and the continuation of salaries and bonuses and so forth. I'm not 100% clear on a technical answer to your question related to the dividend policies. These are non-voting preferred stock investments that obviously involve government investment on a temporary basis. We expect realistically up to about 5 years into a viable banking institution. I'm afraid I just don't have command of the technical questions on the paying of dividends, so let me just stop there and say that my understanding is that because non-voting, there's no government's role involved, it is really a preferred stock level of investment that isn't as restrictive as common stock would be. As regards Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they are in conservatorship, which is not the same as being put into a bankruptcy procedure or being put into receivership. And conservatorship suggests that at some stage they will return to either the status before or some new status. In this conservatorship period, there have been new people appointed to the senior positions, and they come in not with the salary levels that you remember from years past, nor with the opportunity for bonuses. They come in with something closer to a public service kind of level of compensation. I can't speak for what will happen after Fannie Mae and when and if Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac return to a different status, because there are a lot of variables involved, exactly what their status will be, whether they'll be smaller versions or whatever, so I really can't speak to that. I think many of us share the concern about the picture that we saw over the years of very high payouts and firms that ended up, in effect, having to be intervened upon by the government, so I share your sentiment there. I'm afraid we're running out of time, and I know from the downtown Rotary that if you violate this, you're in big troubles. Back to you, Adu.